From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls. How the devil are you? Are you on one of these 11-day holidays at the moment? If you are, I hate you. And that's as simple as that. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, where it is a tremendous... I can't even see a little bit of fluffy stuff in the sky. It is blue, hot, and there's still some snow on the mountains to be seen as well. And there's no smog like England, which is very good, which is, reminds me, before I get started, any asthmatic people in the UK thinking of going out, look at the weather. There's a big advisory note out that you shouldn't go out, especially in the afternoons, otherwise it could be nasty for you. So you have been told in more than no uncertain terms. I'm in Poprad, which is in the east of Slovakia, the beautiful east of Slovakia, and you're very welcome to come and see us anytime you like, and I won't make the coffee, I'll get my PA to do it. Over in the UK, on the zit of the nose of Europe, it is none other than Mr. Lee Banks.
Hello.
Oh, you're not still asleep.
Well, listen, I am a creature of the night. I do not recognise this time of day. You know when, like, when you wake up and you can't get your heart going and rigor mortis is starting to set in? Well, that's how I feel.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just not
reasonable.
I've been up for it. Oh, I'm in trouble now.
Yeah, but you're in a weird world where you've got a different time thing. This is the middle of the night here.
It's not.
It is.
It's not the middle of the night.
It's 10:30. That's the time you go to bed.
It's not. Oh, dear. I forgot
me to... You're right about this killer smog, you know, because we're going out to a beer garden this afternoon. Well, Andrea's got a slight touch of asthma at times.
Is she really?
She'll have to stay at home. We'll have to go by myself.
Oh, my word. Yeah, but you can't go on your own.
Oh, and I'll take me mates.
Well, someone's got to carry you home.
Oh, no, I can do that by myself, actually.
Yeah,
I
right.
I just crawl.
Anyway, hi to the guys over in the US. Hope you're having a good bank holiday, or whatever you call it there. Hi to the people on Audioboo, the lovely folks on Replay, and, of course, you lovely people on RTI-FM. Nice to have you with us on this glorious weekend as we head towards the royal wedding next week, and we're all kitted out for that. We are going to be bringing you a very special program next week where we look at media around the world live as they do it, and in the way that
I'd rephrase that,
and looking at the ways that different broadcasters are going to be covering the event. Interestingly, I've got loads of emails in from different broadcasters already. Hello, Eric, we're doing that, including the Slovak broadcasters as well, which is kind of what they didn't.
They didn't
say it in those words because obviously they replied to me in Slovak, which makes more sense. But anyway, this is a sideways look at the news under normal circumstances, and it will be like that this week with Lee and Eric, because Mark's on holiday this week. He's going to be rushing home next week, apparently. And apparently the train will get there about 10 minutes before we do the programme. So that should be quite interesting, as he'll sound like somebody of 70 breathing like an idiot. And I'm sure we'd have some more stuff to contribute towards the banking bits that we're talking about this week. But first,
that Mark is lying. I believe that he's, you know how he feels about gay Perry, he hates it.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's become an illegal alien already. He's gone into hiding.
Is that what you think?
I do. He's on the run now, and he'll be hiding, because I tell you what, he was supposed to meet me at Burger King, wasn't he? And he never turned up. Uh-huh. Like, I thought maybe he's a vegetarian, so I left him a message saying I'll meet you at Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he never turned up there either.
I doubt if he's a vegetarian, but that's another story. Moving along, boys and girls. First of all, some obits, and I will... this is quite sad, and yet I'm annoyed in the way the media's done this. But tell me the story first.
What about two journals? Yeah, I just think it's got a lot of meaning to me, this. Tim Heverington, 40, has been killed by a rocket-propelled grenade. US photographer Chris Hondras, 41, he's been killed as well. And they're all out in Libya, covering the Libyan crisis for us. And this never used to happen, that that journalists used to get killed. We've got a sort of way of walking through war zones with immunity, but you know, because of the press cards and because of the way you presented yourself. But recently, over the last 10 years, particularly since we started going to war in the Middle East, journalists are getting shot left, right and centre. And despite what we say about journalists and everything, the basic premise of a journalist's life is to tell people what's going on. And these lads were out there and were doing exactly that. And they've died for... They've died, basically, to bring us the news.
I've got divided views, to be honest. And we should say, get well soon to Guy Martin, who's also been injured out there as well.
The thing is,
with the modern world, the way it is now, the problem with Libya, and this is a prime example, journalists are under so much control from the Libyan so-called government, which has never been elected, so therefore, you know, work that one out yourself. The truth is that...
Sorry to say this, though. Like the rest of them, they are good fighters. And that's what we don't take into consideration.
No, I agree with that, but my point is this, that there are enough clever people in Libya who are getting real live reports out, ordinary folks managing to get them through, which most of the broadcasters are using anyway, and they are, without doubt, and I know I respect these guys that are doing stuff, both the civilians and the journalists. The fact is that there's so much coverage of Libya, and I have to say, if you decide to go into a war zone, even for your job, that's the way it is.
Well, that's true. That's what happens to soldiers. But we feel sorry for soldiers when it happens to them.
Absolutely. But I think the press has just gone a bit overboard and gone into this big... there was one program I saw where a young lady was wearing black, doing a newspaper review, and talking about Mr. Hetherington. And it is sad that he's gone, but he chose to go there, and you can't lament everything for hours on end when someone's chosen to do it.
Absolutely no. No, if you go to war, I've been a war correspondent. I've been out. I got shot at in Northern Ireland. I did the Falklands and stuff like that. Shows how old I am.
Yeah, it does. But,
you know, I didn't go out there with the intention of getting killed. I went out with the intention of reporting what was happening and staying alive.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, and these blokes are doing it. You see, my problem with this argument that we have a lot, and we usually have it in a jocular fashion, but because I'm still really in bed, I'm maybe not that jocular about it. But the simple fact is, both you and Mark try to deconstruct the very essence of freedom of speech and freedom of information.
No,
of course
no,
you do.
No.
Yeah, you're saying that all these people, quite rightly, all these bloggers and citizen journalists who've just jumped up out of the wreckage that's becoming Libya and started to blog and text and send stuff out and not train journalists. You can't trust what they say because it just isn't done to a certain standard. These blokes went out there to...
I understand that.
And they went out there to do it properly, give a proper job, give a proper presentation.
Because if they're under the control of the Libyan regime... most of the journalists are, they are taken to certain places. I've seen it.
Eric.
What?
Eric, have you ever been to war?
No.
What you do when you get under... We were under control everywhere. In Northern Ireland, I was under control of the British Army.
Right.
I wasn't allowed to wander. But what you do, and I'm not saying, ladies and gentlemen, any of you should do this at home, but you break free. You go feral. You go and find out what's going on. That's what your job's about, finding out what's going on. You break free. I'm not saying in Libya it's as easy as it was in Northern Ireland because things have changed over 20 years.
Exactly. Things have changed over 20 years. That's my point.
But that's a journalist's job, to go out and break the rules and get the facts. There's certain things that, you know I can do that nobody else can do. And I know you can do that nobody else can do, except another radio journalist, or in my case, another news journalist. There are things that we can do. And that is the art of being good. And these blokes go out there. Somebody like him is trying to make his name. I'm not saying that Tim Hetherington was making his name, but a lot of the people out there are trying to make a name for themselves. And if they're honest and they've got integrity, they will fight for the right to produce proper news for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Bloggers, citizen journalists, fine. All they are what used to be called tipsters. And that's exactly how they should be treated. Bloggers are tipsters.
Mm. Yes, that's why they're bringing news faster than anybody else. But that's
they're not bringing news. They're bringing a source of idea, I think. There's been a crash outside my house now, honestly. Mm-hmm. 2 crashes in 10 days. Now, I could wax lyrical about those and I could say, yeah, that was an HGV that went through that bridge. And do you know mm-hmm. there was a barge below that and 3 people got killed? You say, how do you know? So somebody told me in the pub last night.
But that's not what they're doing. That's not what they're doing.
That is exactly what they're doing.
No, they're not.
A journalist goes down there and gets under that bridge and finds out what's going on.
No, the difference with Libya, yeah. Lee, is quite simple. They're actually sending video footage over via the internet. You can see the bombs coming down. You can see the houses being
blown.
Exactly. And it's the normal people that are reporting this. And even to the extent of hiding behind, and you're having to hide their identity, because the regime will do nasty things to them. So I respect those people.
I respect them for doing that. Yes, I respect what I'm saying. I'm trying to put them quite politely and quite properly in their place. They are thieves.
Oh, they are dear. Journalists are no different to any other human being.
Of course we are. We train to be journalists. That's the difference.
No.
The rest of it, our lives are like ordinary people. We do SDGs, we drink, you know, we go bankrupt, we have problems, our wives leave us.
Yeah.
We're just normal people, but we have this one talent or one training, which is to do journalism properly.
And you got, and nobody else can do it?
No, I don't think they can. No, they can't. No. Genuine. Nobody can do the job.
Oh, dear. Anyway, we'll leave it at that, because it will come up again later in the programme, I am sure. Tributes have been paid to a female bomb disposal expert who died in Afghanistan, doing, as it was described, the best job in the world. That's what Captain Lisa Jade Head, who was from Huddersfield in West Yorkshire, she loved her job, and her commanding officer, she was passionate, robust, and forthright individual, live life to the full. Captain Head was flown back from Afghanistan into Birmingham and died from her injuries on Tuesday. Our love, thoughts, and prayers are with her family, because these people are the real people doing the hard graft just to keep countries like the rest of the world safe, and we love them to pieces. And I have to say, in every occasion, because as some of you know who have been listening to the programme for some time, we are involved in a programme called Holidays for Heroes. I've met some of the most amazing people, and they are just unbelievably passionate about what they're doing. And although they've been injured, we're talking people that have lost limbs, had terrible situations, and yet they say, that's all right, there's people worse off than me. And they get on with it. And I just have so much respect for them. And I won't say who, because that would be wrong. But I'm looking forward to seeing some more of those lovely people in Slovakia at the end of May. And it'd be a privilege and honour to meet the lot of you. Absolutely. Looking forward to it, guys. Moving along, it says lots of news coming up. This week there's been this huge thing about Apple and security and journalists going off in the usual rant. The fact is,
I'm so tired, you know.
I know.
I get in a really bad mood when I'm tired.
Oh, I love all this. This is just exactly what you're saying. I'm a qualified techie. The danger is I've been a journalist as well. And the fun thing is,
that you're a tacky techie.
Yes, exactly. And when I see this stuff come on the telly, I go, oh, please. Where did you get that from? I'm the correspondent.
What are you on the police for?
I'm the correspondent from the Daily Dribble, and I'm the tech correspondent from the Daily Dribble. Hello.
Are you moonlighting?
Yes, I am. Anyway, the story was that there was a little thing inside your Apple phone that stores where you are.
I know, I've heard about this. This is terrible. Honestly, it's I'm glad I haven't got one. Is there a difference, though? Is there a difference between, like, an internet bug?
Yeah.
Yeah? And an Apple grub?
I did. I'm not one to normally defend Apple, Lee, as you rightly know.
I know.
Because I'm not a fan. But in this instance, I'm going to defend them vigorously.
Are you?
Yes.
Did that sound like it was yours? Because I have to explain it wasn't.
True. Right, number one, if you look at the contract when you buy an iPhone, it says, right towards the end, it says, Apple will not reserve the right, but words along those lines, to store where you are in the phone. Now, why? There's a reason for that.
Well, I've just asked you why.
Because people do things like search for friends in geotagged locations.
Oh, that? Is that all it's about?
Yeah.
What a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
So twits.
If you, there's been so many TV programs about it, even to the point of challenges of finding out where your friends are by using an iPhone, and they're using an iPhone, so you can look them up and go, oh, look, Lee's in the pub. I'll go and get a beer off him for nothing.
You don't have to look up the iPhone for that.
Well, that's true.
Bob will be there.
And trust me, boys and girls, if you do that, his wallet might come out, but then the money comes out on crutches. And actually, he's still got old £5 notes. They're about the size of an A4 sheet of paper.
Yeah, £10 now.
And so all these applications that people use to find the nearest restaurant to me, I use an iPhone to find local audio booths to me in Poprad, which shows up. Yes, it shows up. Local radio for Poprad is RTI because it's local and it knows where my phone is. Oh, my word. And it gets better, Lee.
Does it?
It does.
Really?
Yes, because basically most smartphones do this, including the ones called Androids that use the same apps in most cases to Apple, which means...
Androids. I thought you had that when you got Emeroids.
Which basically means it's just some twits picking up on some security issue in Apple that they deem to be breaching my privacy laws, and I don't like it, so I'm going to rant about it. Idiot.
I'm going to ask two journalistic questions this subject.
Here we go.
I am not a blogger. Well, I am a blogger, but I'm a bit of a blogger behind the scenes. Anyway, so I'm going to ask two professional questions.
Okay.
One. Here's the first one.
Okay.
It's coming at you now.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Do you have to have this thing on your phone, or can you switch it off?
It's in the phone and it's in the contract when you buy it.
So you are contracted to have this thing.
Yes.
Second question. If you download something off your phone onto your computer, does it then download that application or whatever it's called onto your computer so your computer starts to act in that way?
No.
Then just don't buy iPhones.
It doesn't matter, because if you want a smartphone, they all do it.
Well, that is despicable.
It's disgusting. Of course it is. It's what the public... You see, this is where journalists are so... The public do want it. The biggest applications...
They want to know where they are.
Listen, the biggest applications are applications connected to where you are geographically located.
If you're diddling your next-door neighbour's missus?
Then you shouldn't be doing that.
Yes, but it'll be on the iPhone.
It would. If you sent her a text message, it'd be on any phone. And the fact is, with so many of these applications needing to know where you are, if you choose to use them...
That's what I'm saying, but can you choose to not use them?
No. Well, you can choose not to use the applications, but the basic...
The information's still there.
The information's still there in the phone, but it doesn't come out.
Why do we have a Freedom of Information Act, and covertly, the one that's the opposite, because I can't remember what it's called.
I know what you mean. But this is the problem. That
we give all our information out, our bank account details, every single thing. A lot of people give out their sexuality by what porn sites they go on. Things
correct.
Like that. We tell the world what we're about, and yet we have that... That thing will be out, Eric, in the morning.
But anyway, the fact is, it's a dribble story. It's in the contract if you want to go and read it, if you can be bothered.
Well, that's a legitimate story to get it taken out of the bloody contracts and out of the bloody phone.
Why? Lee, the vast majority of the applications just won't work.
hard luck apple.
So, in other words, the journalists are right and the majority of the millions of people that use these are wrong.
I think the journalists are right to ask the question of why that's in your phone and how dangerous it is to your own privacy and your secrecy and your private life.
Yeah. How long's an iPhone been out, Lee?
Oh, I keep saying the B word, Eric. Stop,
I know, stop it. Do you realise that iPhones have been out for a few years now?
Yes, but we've got super injunction to stop.
So what you're saying is then the journalists are so quick that it's taken them years to read a contract for a phone.
Well, I didn't know about it until you told me.
Well, you see, it's not a story because it's in the terms and conditions of contract.
Terms and conditions in a contract.
Yeah, and if you want the applications to work, it's got to be in your phone. And that's one of the key factors of having these sorts of phones, because applications work with them.
Yeah, but hang about. You know, you've got a phone that tells you your mates down at the Dog and Duck, right, or your other mates up at the Reformed Tavern, yep. Right? And that tells you, look at your phone. Why is the turning this world in such an anodyne place? You know, all you're going to do.
But just a minute, just a minute. You would only find out if your mate was there if they had the same application on as you.
So it's totally pointless because you can't find out about where your mates are. You only find out about other people who've got an iPhone. iPhones, grow up!
But the trouble is the same with Androids. Anyway, it's a non-story. Continuing with another non-story. Apparently, the hub of hacking in the world is China, according to Sky News. And this was just hysterical. Absolutely hysterical, because they got this guy who purported to be some kind of computer whiz, and right next door, so there's two laptops, you've got a picture of this, boys and girls, two laptops, Mr. Hacker sitting there, and the Sky News presenter sitting next door to this, I can't call her a journalist because that would be disrespectful, and she's sitting there, and she's gone on her keyboard, and mate has gone,
dirty girl,
and mate has gone, oh look, here's your credit card details, and this is your bank account details,
yes,
and she's gone, my God, you've hacked into my computer. Well, after I pick myself off the floor in apoplectic laughter.
Why?
Because...
That's my job to do that.
Because any idiot knows who's a technical beginner.
The world's not full of technical experts and beginners.
Then don't send out a non-trained person to report on something. It's like sending out me to report on brain surgery. I've got no chance.
Not without a brain, no.
No, that's true. And the fact is that if you're sitting in a Wi-Fi area, let's imagine we're in the Lee and Banks pub.
The Lee and Banks pub.
Right? And Lee thinks, I'll be nice. I'll give I was trying to think of the posh word for customers. It wasn't coming out. I'm going to give them free Wi-Fi when they come and have an orange juice in my pub.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, because I have to ask you a question about that, because I was in a place where they had a Wi-Fi thing and I wanted to connect to it with my computer.
Right.
But every option said that this connection is unsafe.
Correct.
Well, I didn't do it.
Good boy.
Thank you very much.
Well done, you.
I know. I was really proud of myself anyway.
There's hope for journalism yet. And the fact is that if you've got two computers, especially the laptops with Wi-Fi and they have infrared connections that can talk to each other, so on and so forth, and in a public area, especially libraries, bars, coffee shops where you can have...
Hotels.
Absolutely, same with hotels.
Yeah.
If it is that it's an open, free access Wi-Fi, anybody on that system with an ounce... Ask a spotty teenager, they can do it. Any spotty teenager can go onto that same system that you're on and covertly look at your computer.
What, while have you got to be in there with it switched on at that moment?
Of course you have, yes. Yes,
so if you go out of the pub and go to another pub,
no,
they can't do it then. So it's not like
if there's another free Wi-Fi, yes, they could, of course.
But they could say, they'd have to follow you though.
Yeah, they would. But the truth is,
then you'd spot them and biff them.
But the truth is, this report was just it was beyond the pale of belief. It really was, because anywhere in the world you could do this sort of thing. And let me just try and explain this to somebody out there in the big white world, and I need your help for this as we come towards the end of part one.
I'm not there already.
Yeah.
Now I and wish again, you'd shut up.
Now and again, Lee has the occasional computer problem, correct?
I don't know, really. Mainly printer problems at the moment. But yes, to fit in with you, I will say right. I have computer problems.
In the case of Lee having a problem, yeah. What I do is I use a piece of software that enables me to access Lee's computer quite honestly and openly. He has to give me a password for it so I don't hack into it, and then I can look into his computer. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's only because I trust you and I'm watching what you're doing.
Yeah, that's true. Now, if you think about it, Lee,
is that the way it happens?
Correct, but they just don't tell you they're doing it.
So you don't see them messing about with your cursor and stuff like that, like you're going into your secret files. Like, well, I'll see Eric, ladies and gentlemen, when I let him into my computer, then he says bank details. It's right immediately, straight to them.
Yeah, but the trouble is, it only gives me the inside leg measurement of your trousers.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, bank's details, you see, that's the difference.
So, please, can I beg the journalistic world?
No, Eric, this is a very important story. That I didn't know that when I used Wi-Fi, that in a pub or a bar or a restaurant or whatever, you see people doing it every day.
I know, but
people don't know.
The journalist
so that's a legitimate story.
But the journalist, no. Yes, that is a legitimate story if it's reported correctly and give the solution. Don't just come up with
What's
problems.
The solution?
The solution is if you're out with a laptop or something like that, please check your security. You don't go
How'd
out...
How you check it?
By making sure you've got up-to-date good walls. You don't go onto public access things unless you know what they are. You don't just say, oh, look, there's a Wi-Fi unit. I'll use that one. Because you don't know what it is. Find out first.
It's too complicated for me.
Lee,
I've never got it used.
We get the same argument. Well, I don't know how my car works. Agreed.
I do know how my car works.
Agreed.
Get it, turn the key, and it works.
You wouldn't drive your car with a noticeable flat battery.
I would. If it started, it'd charge up again.
All right, I'll take tyres then. That would be another one for you. You wouldn't start...
Andrea does. You know what she did in my BMW? She drove my BMW with a flat front tyre. It was making so much noise that she turned the radio up so she couldn't hear it until she got home.
Marvellous. But the truth is, just get some advice from a teenager. It's simple, Mr. Journalist, Mrs. Journalist. Or go to a computer shop. Just ask a question when you're buying a computer. How do I ensure my security is maintained? It's very, very simple. When you get a new car, you ask questions about what sort of petrol I should put in it. Do I have to do the oil stuff? This sort of basic stuff. So why don't you do it with computers?
You just ask where the driver's door is. That's all you ask. Where's the driver's door then, mate?
And my whole point to this is, Lee, that there's a lot of people out there who will read these stories that are well written. Not disputing that. And they are a story. I don't dispute that. It's the way they're presented that gives people misguided information.
Yeah, but it gives... but again, you know, we're not... I don't know.
End of part one. We'll be back with part two of Postcard from Pop Brad when he's going ear bar gum again in a couple of seconds' time.
RTI.